Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, wow. Rising prices for everything. Ridiculous prices for gasoline. People not wanting to go back to work. What else do we have? Missiles being fired at Israel by the dozens. I am so glad that Joe Biden is president of the United States. I am so glad evil orange man is out of office and Joe Biden is showing us a bright, vibrant future, complete with inflation, gasoline shortages, and everything else. And you know what I think is kind of freaky, all right? The pipeline hack took place days after an article that said, hey, get ready for looming gasoline shortages in the summertime because not enough truck drivers are around and certainly not enough with the special certification to carry petroleum products, like the movie Dumb and Dumber. I had a cousin, then they show the truck blowing up. That's what you don't want. But I'm just glad that Joe Biden is in office because clearly things are going swimmingly in the United States. And despite what we see happening, you know, brawls breaking out in North Carolina when a woman tries cutting in line to get gasoline, this president, I have to admire his staying power because it looks like he's going to cancel some more pipelines. After all, why do we need fossil fuels? But here's the big picture, ladies and gentlemen, and you can call me nutcase if you want. I've personally been called it before and it doesn't bother me. Isn't it interesting? Oh, and Lauren Fix made this comment the other day when she was talking with Joe Beamer. This push toward electric cars. Do you think it's really about the environment? I do not believe it is about the environment. This push toward electric cars, I think, is an attempt to limit our personal mobility and increase even further our trackability by the government. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, let's say you want to drive to, Washington, D.C. You're not going to make it on one charge at a charging station. You're not going to make it on one charge at home. You're not going to make it all the way to Washington, D.C. or Atlanta might be a better one. All right, Atlanta. You want to drive Buffalo to Atlanta? A lot of people do it. With electric cars being your only option by 2030, you're going to go 300 miles. Then you're going to have to wait several hours, maybe even overnight, go another 300 miles, all in the name of the environment. And at the same time as they're pushing these low-mileage electric vehicles, what are they also talking more about? Cuomo brought it up today. Brian Higgins' fascination with choo-choo trains in the jet age. Mass transit. You know, I mean, putting the pieces together, if you wanted to be a lunatic, you might say that the government is trying to consolidate population pockets so that we are more easily controlled by them. So we just can't get into a car that guzzles gasoline and drive out into the middle of Montana. It'll take probably a week to make it from Buffalo to Montana with all the stops you'll have to make to charge your electric vehicle. Lauren Fix says it's all about tracking Americans. It makes us easier to track. I can't say that I disagree with her premise. Now, then you have to extrapolate, well, why? Why would they want to track us? Well, The only thing I can come up with so far is people have already shown in the United States that they're gullible. They have shown that they're fearful. They've shown that they're fearful and gullible. And people in this country are just like the Germans were in the 1930s. Just like the Germans were. Oh, that's an extreme statement, Tom. No, they are more than willing to give up their freedoms and liberties as long as they can feel a sense of belonging, as long as they can feel a sense of the collective, as long as they can feel safe. I mean, keep in mind, in the early 30s, the Germans didn't know that there would be death camps erected. And of course, even after they were erected, miraculously, the scent of burning flesh escaped everybody's nostrils in a 12-mile radius. We did not know what was happening there. Oh, really? Yeah, I believe that, sure. But anyway, I'm just telling you, in chaotic times, people give up liberty. They do it gullibly, and they do it out of fear. And they do it in the name of the so-called greater good. They do it to feel better. And I'm just telling you, and I've been right on so many things over the years, I've lost track. I've lost count. I've been wrong once or twice, too. But on the big mega trend stuff, I've been pretty damn good. Be very, very vigilant about attempts to foist electric vehicles on you, which will limit your daily mobility. And be very wary of attempts to get you to ride mass transit, because mass transit can only succeed where people are congealed together. And the more closely you are together, do I need to fill in the blanks here? I mean, does mass transit, big difference between New York City, Washington, D.C., and Buffalo, New York with mass transit, you know. We have been a nation of independent car owners able to drive across the country if we would like in a few days. You know, you get three people going across the country, you can make it relatively quickly compared to the old days of the pioneers, you know, where people would die along the way, have babies along the way, and those babies would grow up, die, and they still wouldn't be in California. But I'm just saying, be very wary about everything going on now, and be very wary about the media love affair with Joe Biden. Because, folks, if we had the kind of inflation that we have right now, if we had that under Donald Trump, it would be the story every day. Donald Trump letting down the country. If Donald Trump was talking about shutting down additional pipelines during a period when we are seeing what petroleum shortages can do to people's minds and the thin veneer of civilization breaking down at that gas station in North Carolina, it would be, what is Donald Trump, evil orange man, doing? And isn't it interesting that we're not seeing as many pictures of children in cages at the border as we had during the evil orange man administration? The media are so far up the Democrat Party's ass in this country, it is absurd. And you need to be your own discerning consumer of media. And I must say that amongst my circle of friends, probably 90 to 95% of them understand exactly what's what. They know what the media are all about. They know what Biden is all about. They know what Kamala Harris is all about. They know where they want to take this country. And the more chaos, the better. Because in chaotic times, people crave structure. And an authoritarian government offers a framework of structure. Do you know what a relief it would be on a daily basis not to have to think about anything? Like, you didn't have to think about a suit. You just put on your Chairman Mao suit and you're good for the day. Next day, a brand new Chairman Mao suit. You don't have to think. It's like being a prison inmate. Hey, is today Taco Tuesday? Great. Tomorrow is Spaghetti Wednesday. And then it's Pizza Friday. You don't have to think about anything. Let the government do your thinking for you. We have had a free country since 1776, if you count the Declaration of Independence. And gradually, in fact, not even gradually, quite suddenly, in the name of public safety and a pandemic, people just are throwing their hands up and saying, please, somebody else, do my thinking for me. Please, I can't handle freedom. I don't know what to do. Oh! So, anyway, just a couple of things about which to be watchful. But most of all, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I'm going to let you answer this question to yourself and by yourself. Okay, how many months has it been since Evil Orange Man, oh, who, by the way, did top off the Strategic Petroleum Reserve when they were practically giving away oil, all right? He was such a horrible president. So, do you really believe that the country is better off now than it was when Evil Orange Man was president? Because I sure as hell don't. Do you think the world situation is more stable now than it was when Evil Orange Man was president? Because you've got Hamas firing rockets by the, actually thousands now, into Israel. The IDF is fighting back along with Shin Bet. They're doing their part to reduce the rockets. You've got China. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are not scared by China, you're not paying attention. China is in 2021 what Japan was in the 1920s. I'll say that again. China now is what Japan was in the 1920s. A century ago, how quickly things repeat. Just real quickly, I don't want to get too far afield on this stuff, but most of you were sleeping during history class. I'm sorry, you missed out on a lot, and I don't blame you because some teachers weren't very good. I had some really awesome history teachers. Back in the 1920s, and by the way, Japan was our ally, an ally during World War I against the Germans. People forget that, if they even cared in the first place. But Japan wanted to be the power in the Pacific. Japan wanted to be the center of the universe in the Pacific. So what did they do? They aggressively expanded their military, all right? They extensively trained their military, and they flexed their muscle. They developed technology like the Zero Fighter, which for its time was the best fighter plane flying. Seriously, better than the Luftwaffe had. They developed that. They developed higher, better torpedo bombers. And then Japan started to throw elbows around like John Wincink of the Boston Bruins back in the 1970s. I was going through my old hockey cards. So, even Ivan Boulder have anybody? All right. So anyway, in the early 1930s, after all this militarization of Japan, you know, you don't build up a military society not to use it any more than you take a Viagra if you're not going to have a date. Well, some of you might, but that's on you. You build up a military, you train a military, you militarize a society to use it. And that's exactly what Japan did, invading Manchuria in 1931, turning it into a Japanese province, Manchukuo. And then, as time went on, Japan realized, hey, we don't have any raw materials. We don't produce our own oil. There's a million minerals we don't have, so we better find where we can get them. So they looked at rubbers. Not those. Not prophylactics. Tires for cars and stuff. They didn't grow rubber. So, okay, who grows rubber? Hey, we need that land for ourselves. And little by little, look, the Japanese first attack in the Pacific was not Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. It was China 10 years earlier. And they wrought havoc on China, big time. Eventually, the Empire of the Rising Sun, the sun set on it. The Battle of the Coral Sea, the Battle of Midway, Japan lost the cream of its crop, and it was only a matter of time before the attrition of our military and naval and air power in the Pacific, island by island, and bypassing the really strongly fortified ones, paid off with the defeat of Japan. But they wanted to be king you-know-what in the Pacific. China today is doing exactly what Japan did in the 1920s. massive military buildup. Absolutely massive. And they're throwing elbows all over the place. These islands in the South China Sea. Do you think they're just doing it because they want another island? They just took over an unoccupied island that I don't even know the name of from World War II, where we had an air base. And they have made it their own air base in the Pacific. China wants to be, here's one critical difference. China wants to be not only king you-know-what in the Pacific, China wants to be the superpower in the world. So when a nation projects weakness and vulnerability, I don't know, like maybe petroleum pipelines being hacked, maybe inflation ridiculous, maybe people not working, maybe people living in panic and fear. If China detects vulnerability, it simply increases the chances for something very, very nasty happening in the future. So keep your eyes on China. And another thing, China, you know, we talk a lot about race in America. There's a lot I'd like to say about Chinese perceptions of their own ethnicity and its importance in the world. Let me just say this. Tiananmen Square is perceived as the center of all of the universe by the Chinese. The center of the entire universe by the Chinese. That sounds like Asian hate. Good luck with that argument. I'm part Mongolian and Tibetan, so gotcha. Anyway, watch China, watch China, watch China. It is 2:22 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And actually, I'll tell you something else. What I'm doing, I don't want to get too far afield on this, but I had a meeting on Saturday, and we were going over some merchandise for the show. And I'm talking like hats, water bottles, fleeces, shirts, nice shirts and crappier shirts. But my one prerequisite is they are made in the United States. So they're going to cost more money, but they're going to be made in the United States. I do not want my name on anything that is made by our enemy, which is China. Now, you know, one of the things that I hate to say, but it has to be said, if you recognize that China is our enemy, you understand that we need allies against China. Can you think of a strongish country in Central Europe, Asia, that maybe we've been allied with before, even though they weren't the best of people and shot a bunch of Polish officers in the woods of Katyn in 1940? Oh, yeah, Russia. Strategically, it makes sense to defrost relations with Russia. You're never going to find a perfect ally, ladies and gentlemen, but if you keep the Chinese looking to their west, then that's less eyes they have to look to their east. So I would cozy up to the Russians a little bit. We've done it before, and Putin is not exactly Stalin. Stalin was the scum of the earth. Putin, I don't think he's quite at Stalin levels. But you have to have allies, and you have to have strong allies who know how to fight. And one thing I know from history is the Russians know how to fight. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They know how to fight. What they did against the Germans in World War II was, I think, amazing what they did. Of course, one of the reasons is never mind, I don't feel like going there. I'm going to be getting down a rabbit hole and a wormhole. But anyway, here's the bottom line. China is flexing its muscles every day. We've got a senile geezer in the White House and a communist-sympathizing vice president ready to jump in. Keep your eyes on China. Keep your eyes on China. And keep your eyes on China. All right, it is 2:25 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Anybody want Desert Storm trading cards? Sorry, I mentioned this. I've been going through the old NHL, NFL playing cards, and actually found a couple of winners. But yeah, we'll see where that goes. But I can't believe I bought so many Desert Storm trading cards when I was a fully grown man. They're going to go out to the garbage, I think. They're not worth anything. They never will be worth anything. They were mass-produced, mass-collected, and absolutely valueless pieces of paper. Might as well chuck them, have a bonfire with them, whatever. Bonfire. There's an idea. All right, 226 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Coming up on the program, we have a lot of things we're going to get into, and it's going to involve you. It's not even going to involve China, at least not directly. So stay with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. And if you have not heard about the New York Heroes Act, you need to know about the New York Heroes Act. We talked about it yesterday with Corey Hogan from Hogan Willig. And I got a lot of people asking me questions about that last night. Business owner types of people.
Obviously, we have the acute issues with the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack, but looking more holistically in a macro view, how does this speed up the efforts at DOE to move in more of a renewable direction, since this is going to have an impact on people at the pump?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously are all in on making sure that we meet the president's goals of getting to 100% clean electricity by 2035 and net zero carbon emissions by 2050.
Maybe Lloyd Price would be appropriate, but just not enough time. 2:36 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So, yeah, I was talking earlier because I heard Lauren Fix on the radio station earlier this week. And here, let me just give an example when I talk about the media being up the ass of the Democrat Party and all on board with anything against fossil fuels. Here is a question that was actually asked after the hack of the pipeline and after there were gasoline shortages in parts of the United States. Listen to the glee of this reporter. She sounds as blissful as Poland Cars does when he talks about how much power he has.
Obviously, we have the acute issues with the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack, but looking more holistically in a macro view, how does this speed up the efforts at DOE to move in more of a renewable direction, since this is going to have an impact on people at the pump?
Yeah, I mean, see, again, that's seriously, how is this going to help further the environmentalist so-called agenda? That's the question. It's unbelievable. And as far as Mark Poloncarz, we had audio from him. We've had audio from him, but talking about power. I have the power. I have the power. Be very careful of what people say and the words they use to describe what they have. Mark Poloncarz, the Erie County executive, has legal authority to act as county executive. He is delusional if he thinks he has power. In the big scheme of things, Mark Poloncarz is a very small cog in a very big wheel. He has certain legal authority as the duly elected county executive. But power? I mean, look, you can tell a lot about a person by the words they use. I would say legal authority. He says power. Told you, these people are on power trips, ladies and gentlemen. And if they were to announce that COVID was done, Andrew Cuomo would be answering questions about breasts. Dr. Gail Burstein, Dr. Overtime, she'd be down to her paltry $200,000 a year salary without the overtime doubling that. And Dr. Fauci is just another Washington bureaucrat who never sees network TV again. These people are addicted to the publicity. They're addicted to the fame. They're addicted. To them, it's like Hollywood. I mean, they're bigger. Anthony Fauci's bigger than Brad Pitt right now. And you think he doesn't know it? You think when he goes out to restaurants, they don't bend over backwards to make sure he's seated first at the best tables? Seriously, I get that. Well, but Dr. Fauci, this guy is... All I can say is human nature is to be addicted to power. And it was so revelatory to hear Mark Poloncarz. It's always revelatory to listen to any words used by anybody describing their own situation. Power. Hey, Pasquale, how would it be if I said I have power over you? Yeah, he just laughed. I mean, technically I do, but I don't say it that way because it's not the place from where I'm coming. All right, now, well, we have so many places and so many things I want to do today. I kind of, this is one of those days I don't know where to begin. All right, excuse me while I whip these out. I got two topics with which I would like to begin today. All right, topic number one. In general, your COVID bitches, your COVID gripes, and it can be pretty much anything COVID related. Things that have you saying, heh, or WTAF. Number two, and this is the one I really want to try because I don't think I've really gotten into it before, and I want to get into it. And it is this, your working situation, all right? Your working situation. Many of you, you're still working remote, right? Which is surprising because I got caught in a traffic jam on the 290 East last night. Sucked. But anyway, it took me 15 whole minutes to get home and not 10. That was horrible. That was the worst part of life ever. But anyway, we do get spoiled by the commute. But anyway, like I've noticed that the traffic has increased to pre-pandemic levels. Okay. So I have kind of a skewed view of how people are working. In my neighborhood, for example, I see a lot of people who I would presume to be youngish professionals jogging around the block every morning, wasting valuable heartbeats on exercise. I see them doing this. Sometimes I see them pushing baby strollers. Sometimes I see them pushing baby strollers without any notice directly in front of my turning car. And I'm glad that I pay attention when I drive. Otherwise, I'd be a headline. But anyway, in my neighborhood, I don't know how many people are remotely working. We have quite a few retired people. We have quite a few professional people. And I want to know if you are working remotely or if you are back at the office. Working remotely or back at the office. And if you are working remotely, there's a special question that I'd like you guys to address, and it is, do you want to go back to the office? Or are you hooked on phonics? Or are you hooked on staying at home to do your job? Are you enjoying working remotely? Are you working remotely? I got to tell you something. I miss the people with whom I work because I basically every day see the same six people. Five of them I don't even like. Kidding. I basically see the same six people every day. I love them or life would really be a problem. But I have not seen our account executives at the radio station. I've seen one or two for 5 minutes at a time. It's desolate. This place is a shell of what it used to be. How our account executive salespeople are able to do the great job they do without even physically being here at the radio station is beyond me. I see Tim Wenger once, maybe twice a week. I see our general manager once a week. Has work changed forever for you? Do you want to get back to the office? Have you already gone back to the office or the plant? I mean, look, some jobs you can't do remotely. I'm having some work done on my driveway right now. That can't be done remotely. That's sweat work done by professionals who have a skill I don't have. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Are you working remotely? Do you want to go back? And in general, your COVID bitches. We can have a COVID rap session. I don't mean rap music. I mean conversation. I would use the expression pet peeves, but I don't like that expression much anymore. I will sometimes use it, but I just think it's more to the point to say, you know, what's your bitch about COVID? But I really, 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 really want to see if I can get some traction on this whole working at home thing. Just as an aside, I enjoy coming into work. In all seriousness, I enjoy seeing Brendan Keeney. I love seeing Tom Puckett. I love ragging on Mike Baggerman every chance I get. I love seeing Pasquale. I love seeing Al, our engineer, Al Marenka, and Tom Maddie, and Nate, and everybody with whom I actually deal on an almost daily basis. Mike Shope, I see him on a daily basis. Trying to sell him some sports cards. He's not biting. But anyway, I don't like this. I mean, how do I say this? I feel glad, and this is a feeling, all right? It's not a rational thought. It's a feeling. I feel better being here in studio than if I was at home. I would feel even better if more of my coworkers were here. But they're not, and I'm not even sure they ever will be. And I don't even know how much space this radio station needs to even lease. Pasquale, could we not, with the crew we have in this building right now, we could reduce our space by 80%. Could we not easily? We have like 80% space we don't even need at all. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Oh, by the way, maybe I'll get into this too. One of my COVID bitches is how people can suck. Pets were adopted during the pandemic, and they are being returned in record numbers. You are a low-life, low-level, scumbag bastard if you adopted a puppy, and now that the pandemic is over, you basically throw it out like it's trash. You know, dogs and cats have feelings. They bond with you. You become part of their world. And what? Now that you're done using your dog or your cat like a 25-cent whore, you take it back to a shelter? What the hell's wrong with you? You're a scumbag, and you should never be allowed to adopt an animal again. Ever. You know, my cat is old, senile, and infirm, but she's been with me since September of 2003. I make a lot of sacrifices, including a good night's sleep, for that animal. You know why? Because we're bonded. She is part of me. I am part of her. When I have to put her down, I'm going to be very sad for 2 weeks. That's my pet grief limitation statute. But these people, these scumbags, who are absolutely shameless, adopting a pet during the pandemic for your benefit, and then the minute you don't need it anymore, just wantonly, callously, and you're a cretin, cretinously. You are cretinously returning the animal to the shelter. Shame on you. Never should you be able to even buy a piece of fish at a market. That's how bad, that's how strongly I feel about this. You can't give an animal a forever home. Do the animal a favor. Stay out of its life. Let's go to the calls on WBEN. Here's Nick in Dunkirk. Nick, hello.
Hello, Tom. How you doing?
Oh, I'm just feeling like strangling people tonight. How are you? Okay, kidding.
Well, I just wanted to make a quick comment about your monologue. It was spot on. And the reason all this is coming about is because we're going to get pushed into the new world order. So we won't need cars in the future because we'll be packed into 400-foot apartments.
Well, okay, I'm going to make a very slight nomenclature adjustment to what you're saying. They're not calling it the new world order anymore. I strongly suggest you do some research online into what is being openly called the Great Reset. And you've got the big brains and the billionaires of this world, and they're trying to figure out the best way they can screw capitalism by using COVID to do it. The Great Reset. It's a real thing.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't
forget about New World Order, okay? People caught on to that one. It's now called the Great Reset. Look it up, and if it doesn't scare you, it should.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much, Nick. I appreciate it. You know, somebody brought that to my attention, and I thought that, oh, my goodness, is this, you know, really, am I really going to go to this site? Oh, my goodness, this is true. This is, like, real. And they're very open about it. How they're going to change our way of life, and they're using COVID as a springboard to do it, making one wonder about the etiology of COVID-19. I absolutely believe it's from that Wuhan lab. I do not believe, as I previously did, based on the best available information at the time, that it was avian spread like the Spanish flu. I think this is Chinese communists all the way, and I think basically what they did is wage an act of war against the world with this virus. And I don't think it was an accident. Can I prove that? No, I cannot. But it's what I think. It's what I suspect strongly. All right. Where is Phil? Phil is no longer with us. He's still alive, but he left for another job. But don't worry, Phil is in text communication with me. And he did the other day accuse me of talking trash about his taste in music. I do miss Phil, but I love Pasquale Maggiore. I mean, what can I say? But Phil and I are we've been friends. We'll stay friends, and you know, ask Phil about me, and Phil will say, you know, I miss all those free lunches Tom bought me. It's all right, Phil. My credit card appreciates the break. Okay, let's go to Mike in Eggertsville. Mike, howdy.
How you doing?
Yes, sir. How can I help?
Well, just a quick comment on kind of a little COVID buggeroo.
Buggeroo? Did you just use the word buggeroo? Okay, in 2 minutes, the word dumpster and buggeroo have been used on this radio station.
That's a good one. Well, it just came to mind. Anyway, quickly here, walking down the street during this past year, getting out of my car, going to a parking lot, whatever. And there's people just discarding their dirty COVID masks on the street. It's disgusting. Didn't anyone ever hear of the litter bug?
No. You know what? Give a hoot, don't pollute. We used to say that in the 1970s. These people, again, look, I'm not a believer in masks. I must be honest with you. Unless it's a properly fit N95 mask, I'm not a believer in them. But if you have a mask, to throw it on the ground is a sign of absolute disrespect for anybody else. Visually, aesthetically, it is stupid. And I feel the same way about people who chuck their cigarettes out the window. And I have been known occasionally to get out of the car, pick it up, and throw it back into their car.
That's a good one. Just common sense, courtesy, manners. I don't know why they seem to be going out the window with this thing, but thanks for letting me vent.
All right, and it's I've heard that before. I'm glad you called. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, I'm glad you're here, friends. Good to have you. I've got two things. I've got two polls. Clearly, it's a side effect of the vaccine. Now, I've got two poles, fishing poles, that I've got in the water. Fishing pole number one, perhaps you'll bite on that one. It is, what do you want to bitch about when it comes to COVID? Anything COVID-related. Stadiums, baseball, football, anything COVID-related. All right? The other poll I've got in the stream is if your remote work experience. And are you already back physically on the job, or do you love remote working? I'd love to hear from some of our salespeople. Hey, Caitlin, how come you're not calling in? Stephanie, where are you? Andy, where are you? Jill, where are you? We miss you. I'm just putting pressure on people. See, it's not that I miss Caitlin. I mean, she's a lovely young lady, but her pit bull, Remy, is absolutely adorable. She brings Remy into the station, and I'm on my back on the floor for like 5 minutes at a time being licked into a very happy state by Remy the pit bull. But without Caitlin, there's no Remy, and that makes me very sad. Remy, would you please bring Caitlin into work at some point? Thank you. It is 2:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, love me, love my dog. So I've got two poles in the water. The worms are wiggling around. And are you a trout or perhaps a deep ocean anglerfish? One of those washed up in California the other day. Those are so cool. Those, you know what? That's what we're going to all look like after the COVID vaccine.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!